Turn with me to Philippians 1:1. We've just started a study in Philippians, and I'm going to read the opening letter here, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. We're on the first word, okay, of the first verse, but I'm going to read the first two verses so we get a feel for the opening. And I want to review a couple things and get going here. Paul and Timothy, bondservants or slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints, the holy ones in Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi, with the bishops, and the bishops are elders. What elders do is they bishop, and I've talked about that before. They oversee. And so he says, with the overseers and deacons, those who serve, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the first opening that we did this, we looked at Paul's calling. And you remember Paul was persecuting Christians, and on the road to Damascus, Christ stops him in suddenness and tells him, is it hard for you to preach against? And Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then we come upon Ananias, who is chosen to go talk to Paul. And Ananias is scared to death. And he says, man, you know, Paul's mean, and I may get killed. And God says this to Ananias, and we see Paul's commission. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And isn't that interesting? Because until this, we really didn't have anyone going to the Gentile at that point. And so now Paul appoints Paul to go, and who's the Gentile? But the nations, us, okay? For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I know I've said this before, but every time I read that, it just blows me away that part of his commission is to suffer. I mean, just stop about it and think about it. If somebody came to you and said, the Lord spoke to me and said, he wants you to do this, and by the way, you're going to suffer. Boy, you'd have second thoughts, wouldn't you? And yet Paul, we see Paul go straight into it. And so then last week, we talked about our commission that Paul gives to us, and this is the second of two sermons on our marching orders in the body of Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to look at this together. It'll be up there if you don't have your Bibles with you. And let me read. Now, all things are of God. And I've made this note before, but when we get to all things, the structure is the all, is the way the original language. And typically, a lot of times when Paul talks about you and I, he calls us the all. And so he's talking about us. So we could even say this. Now, we are of God. Isn't that comforting? Isn't it? We are of God, who has reconciled, who has resolved, who has reunited, who has repaired us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not assigning, not implicating their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, the declaration of reconciliation. Now then, we are... Okay, I knew you weren't looking. You were down looking at your Bibles, weren't you? Yeah, so you're forgiven. Okay, here we go. Now, we are ambassadors, representatives for Christ, as though God pleading through us, we're pleading through us. We implore you, and implore means to beg. We beg you on behalf of Christ, or Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be resolved to God. That is our commission. That is our marching orders. First, he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's given us the work of reconciliation that we are to go out and reach the lost. We need to work together as a unit in Harvest Fellowship to go reach the lost. So many of you are going to go out and reach the lost. It's everybody's job to share Christ. But we have some people that their job is to get out on the firing lines and bring them in. And some of us is training and serving, working together to see that happen, because that is what God has called you and I to do. Pretty clear, isn't it? The second thing is that he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's the second line. And so I remember years ago I read about one of the church fathers saying this, and I've heard it quoted many times. Give witness, and if needed, use words. Have you ever heard that before? And so it's kind of like, I can remember, especially in the 70s and 80s, that people were really into the silent witness. It's pretty easy, right? So the silent witness worked pretty good. But I've got to clear this up, because even though a church father said it, it's not biblical. It says that we have been given the declaration, the word, using your mouth, the word of reconciliation. And we're not supposed to shut up. And we see that all through Scripture, where Peter and the apostles get called before the Sanhedrin, and they're whipped, and they've counted it an honor to have shared. And then three, he's appointed us ambassadors. He's appointed us representatives. And you remember that what ambassador means is that if we were an ambassador from the United States and we went to another country, not only do we represent the United States, but we have the authority to speak for the United States. And so here's the neat thing. God has made us representatives of heaven, and we have the authority to speak. And I'm telling you, if you're going to share Christ with someone you want to talk, you have to remember you have the authority to do it. Right? What happens when you don't feel like you have the authority? Your heart goes, up, right? And you're thinking, oh, I'm scared and this kind of thing, because you don't feel like you have the authority. And God has given you and I the authority to represent Jesus Christ and to share. We beg them to be reconciled to God. Not very hard, not very confusing. But you know, after you hear this, and last week, I don't know if you felt this, but I preached the first half on that last week, and a lot of times it kind of dissipates as it goes, as the day wears on. In fact, it's kind of like last week when I was talking about it, I remember seeing a lot of people. A lot of people talked to me afterwards. When they got done, their friends would come up and say, hey, let's go to Dave's Barbecue up there on I-25. And it's like, yeah, that sounds good. And they go to I-25 and they start talking about something. And then pretty soon it kind of dissipates. You don't know what I'm talking about? See that bucket up there? Vision leaks. All right? Vision leaks. And I'm telling you, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, and I don't know about you, but I forget it. And it doesn't take very long. In fact, I preached the sermon last week, and by Wednesday, I was reading my Bible, and I was praying in my study, and I thought, okay, I need to get going here. And I thought, now, what is it I'm doing? Let's see, I got to preach on Sunday. And I just all of a sudden stalled out. And I said, Lord, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing here. And so I prayed about it. And pretty soon I thought, okay. I opened up on my computer Word and I started typing out, what do I think we're called to? What do I think the vision is? And then, boy, that really revived me, because I started typing out all that we need to do. And I ended up with 3 pages of stuff, and it's not hardly anything. I felt like I hardly touched it. But the problem here is, and it is natural for every one of us, the vision leaks. When you're convicted, how long does the conviction last? It just kind of dissipates and dissipates. It leaks. And that's why God tells us to renew our mind day by day, because if we don't renew our mind, we're going to get caught off of guard. We're going to get way away from what God's called us to do. What has he called us to do? The ministry of reconciliation, to be ambassadors for Christ. It happens to all of us. And I want to read this because the same phenomena happens with Jesus when he's talking to the disciples, and he says, in Matthew 9:36, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, for they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And here is these people who are following Jesus, and Jesus has given his wisdom, and he looks out at them, and they totally forgot what he said. And they're weary, and they need a shepherd, and we see that through the scriptures all the time. It's so easy to do that. So he says this. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful. Say that with me. The harvest is truly... Oh, no, I need more than one. Okay, here we go. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. See, and I can't even hardly get you to read it. All right, okay. I'm just kidding with you. The harvest is truly plentiful. I want you to think about that today. I want you to go home with that. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray, beg is the word, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So first, Jesus is saying, pray for the harvest. Pray for harvesters to get into the field to share the gospel. Pray for people who will do that. And I'm telling you what, you know, as I looked at that this week and I just meditated on that scripture. Now, I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of theology. I, you know, went through school and I learned all my theology stuff. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get how we can pray to the Lord and the Lord will send harvest people, because we kind of have to make that decision, don't we? And I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking, Lord, what are you saying? And then I thought, you know what? Here's what happens when you pray. Maybe it's about you. When you pray for people to go out into the field, maybe you're praying for yourself. You know, I look at that, and I think the second thing is that Jesus says that people are ready to hear the gospel, right? They're ready. The fields are white for harvest is plentiful. And you know, as I got to thinking about this, this goes back, and I've talked to some of the people that have been here for a long time, heard this story. But years ago, I was going home for lunch, and I had been meditating on 2 Corinthians 5. And while I was driving home, I all of a sudden realized, you know, I hadn't shared Christ with anybody in 2 or 3 weeks. And so as I was going home, I said, Lord, send someone to me that I can share with. And I got home, ate lunch, I came back, and I got into my office, and I no sooner sat down in my chair, and there was a knock at my door. And I opened up the door, and here's a city official. And he says, Steve, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. And he just took off and went around the corner because there's a bunch of tables to sit at. And so I thought, oh, no. He's going to try to get me on a committee. I know it. You know, I'm thinking, I get up and I start following him to this table, and I'm going, Lord, you know, I'm already on the long range facility committee for the school, and I worked with the city, and Lord, I just don't want another committee to serve on. And so the whole time I'm praying this, and he sits down at the table, and I sit down, and I said to him, so what's up? And he said, Steve, he said, I've watched you Christians. He said, especially you Christian pastors. And he said, you know what? He said, you have peace, and I don't have any peace in my life. He said, will you show me how to have peace? And I thought, man, I can't believe that. I can't believe, you know, it's one thing when you go out and share, but when they ask you to witness to them, it's amazing. And so I had the privilege of going through Romans 3, 23, 6, 23, 10, 9, and 10, and 10, 13. And he asked a question, and I started to bring up another scripture. He said, no, stop. Don't give me any more scripture. He said, I have those four, and I have to think about them here. And so I said, okay. And so we sat for a few minutes, and I said, well, would you like to ask Christ into your life? I kind of explained it to him, and he said, wait. I have to think about this. I said, okay. And they said, is there a problem? And he said, no, it just means my life is going to change and I know it. And I said, well, yeah, but you're going to love it. You'll love the changes. And so finally he said, okay, I'm ready. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray what we call a sinner's prayer, and then I'll pray a few words and you pray behind me. So I said, dear Lord Jesus, and he goes, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I am so full of, I've messed up, and Lord, come into my life and be the Lord. And he just goes through this whole sinner's prayer by himself, and he gets done, and he goes, oh, he says, now I feel like I have peace. And I just looked at that, and I thought, you know what? The fields are plentiful, aren't they? Not only did he accept Christ, but he came to me to get it. He came to my field. And I look at that and I think, Lord, you are so amazing. And you know, here's the thing. When I say I want you to remember that the fields are plentiful, it's because Jesus said they are, which means they are, right? And we have found that to be true. And you know, I know for some of you, if you're like me, see, Clyde is an evangelist. He prays for boldness every day. He goes out and witnesses. I pray for boldness, but my gift isn't necessarily evangelism. I have some of it, and so I'm not quite on the trigger like he is, and sometimes I forget. And so you may be like me, and somebody almost has to hit you between the eyes. You say, oh, you know, that's an opening. I can share the gospel. But you know what? Here's what happens to me, and see if you can relate it all. Somebody will say, make some kind of statement that opens it up so we can share the message with them. And right away my heart goes, and I think, I get a little nervous, you know, and I think, okay, let's see, what's the first question? And I start talking to them, and it's a little bit tough, and you may feel the same thing. Because let's face it, sharing our faith is a little bit scary. And so I think what we should do is develop some questions. Some questions like, for instance, do you ever go to church? That's pretty harmless, isn't it? You ever go to church? And would you like to go to church with me? We just built a new building. Would you like to come see it? Why don't you come down Sunday and attend services and take a look at it? My pastor is a funny guy. Do you want to come listen to him? Oh, that didn't work very well. Okay, all right. Hey, we have a coffee bar. You want to come to church and I'll buy you a latte? That's not bad. Hey, would you like to come to church and find peace? Yeah. Hey, do you want your kids to understand the Bible as they grow up? I mean, there's all kinds of questions we can think of because the harvest is truly plentiful and the labors are few. And you know what? We have made a promise here that we will share the gospel every service we have. So if you're scared to death, because sometimes the closer they are to you, the harder it is to share. So bring them here. And then you can sit back and pretend you didn't know it was going to happen. Jesus says to beg for harvesters. And we're the harvesters. And the fields are plenty. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was reading the e-bulletin, and Lori Bullen sitting over here, there was whoever, I don't know if you wrote that or somebody else wrote it, but talked about her dad. Her dad's got a few months to live, and we've been praying for him, and he hasn't known Christ. And so the email said, you know, that he's rejected the message over and over, and they were really praying that maybe somebody would talk to him somewhere. And so when I saw that, I just bowed my head and I prayed. And I think that probably several others of you who are on that e-bulletin did also. And if, by the way, if you're not on the e-bulletin, you can sign up for that because we share all kinds of things that are going on during the church. But I prayed and asked the Lord, please send someone. Or if Lori or Dave talks to him, Lord, just make their words clear. We just pray for your Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. Well, we got the bulletin this week, and it said that he trusted Christ. Isn't that neat? And how old is your dad? 74. Not too late, is it? 74. And I look at that, and I think, man, the harvest truly is plentiful. And I want to read this from John 4:31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Boy, is that a commission or what? Do the will of him who sent me. You know, in the early 90s, for about a year and a half, I got the privilege of selling the product that I was making in a factory in Henderson, Colorado. Actually, it was Commerce City at the time. And my dad was from the Southeast, and I thought, boy, that'd be a lot of fun, and I'd like to try sales. And so I would fly into Atlanta. I'd take a Delta flight because Delta was the only thing that flew back in those days. And so I'd take a Delta flight from here, there, and then get my whatever flight it was. And sometimes I'd work in the area, so I'd get there early. And my wife has a great uncle and great aunt that lived in Stone Mountain, which is just, you know, a few miles out from the airport. And I go visit them. And so the first week I went there and visited them and introduced myself and reminded, because they had been to Colorado. And we got to really become fast friends for that year and a half. And let me just tell you a little bit about this couple. The woman got married for the first time at 67. And married Bill, my wife's uncle, great uncle. And he was 81 at the time. And I mean, full of life. He had done movies. He was directed films, and he did things for Disney in those days. And history, well, it would be like the History Channel now, those kind of films. And so they were retired. And so it was in a time when I felt like I needed to soak in a lot of God's love in my life. And they were just pouring it into me. And it was just so great, the fellowship. But I never forgot something that she said to me. One day we were sitting eating breakfast, and she said, "Steve, Bill and I get up every morning." As I was asking, what do they do for, you know, devotions and that kind of thing? And they said, "Steve, we get up every morning, we read the word together, we pray, and then we go look. We ask the Lord, please send us someone today to talk to." And she said, "We go out, we drive around, we'll go to a village inn, we'll go someplace and get coffee. We'll go to the shopping center. We'll go to a store somewhere, and we look for that person that God has sent into our life. And as soon as they get into our life, we witness to them. And sometimes they accept, sometimes they don't. And then we get on with our rest of the day." That was habit for them. Every day they did that. And I looked at them, 81 and 73 she was at the time. And I look at them, and their sole goal was the ministry of reconciliation, to be ambassadors for Christ every day of their life until Bill died. And I think we can take a lesson from that. In 35 it says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, excuse me, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor or have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So what Christ is saying here to his disciples is, you sow, and you sow, and you sow, and then you reap. And so there are times when we talk to people, and as we sow, it's not so comfortable, because we're giving them the gospel, and they don't accept it. Then all of a sudden, one day, we sow, and it reaps. And we get to reap in the harvest. And we have seen that time and time and time again. Every time we get in the service, there's always somebody who we get to reap. And what is the reward? Joy. Isn't it great to see people come to Christ? It's just amazing. Our charge is to go to the lost and share with them about how to get to heaven. And so I want to end with this question, and Clyde's going to come up and talk to you also. But the question is, do I share Christ with others? Whether bringing them to church, whether actually verbally talking to them, do I share Christ with others? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning because, Lord, we're scared. Sometimes we're intimidated. Sometimes we're afraid they're going to ask us questions we can't answer. And yet, Lord, you have told us the fields are white for harvest, that the fields are plentiful, but the laborers are few. I pray we at Harvest Fellowship will be many laborers to go out into the field and reap the harvest. And Lord, may you convict each one of us before we get out of these doors and our life goes on, to be able to pick that person, that someone that we can invite to church or we can share Christ with. And may we have the ministry of reconciliation buried in our heart so we know what it is that you want us to do. In Jesus' name.
Well, excuse me. I sure enjoyed that. Mom? Hello. 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 I love the message. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. But sometimes I think we forgot our identity. We don't realize who we really are. Paul says that we have treasure in earthen vessels. And what do you think that treasure is? It's eternal life. The hope that lives inside of us. My gosh. We had to come to church sometimes and we act like we're half dead. Wake up. Paul says, you're sleeping. Wake up. The whole world is waiting for you and for me to tell them about Christ. I love the message. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, Ed. Though God was pleading through us, though God put eternal life inside of us and it's coming out of us to the whole world. We live in a dark world and we are supposed to be the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Oh, that feels good to say that, doesn't it? I am the part of the light of the world, and so are you if you have Christ in your life. What are you doing with it? What an awesome thing. I remember the first time somebody came to my house and told me about Christ. Took the chance. Said, if you died right now, Clyde, where are you going? I said, I'm going straight to hell. And he said, why? And I said, I pulled a lot of crap on a lot of people, did a lot of bad things, did all kinds of stuff. He said, what if I can tell you can go to heaven? Would you be interested? And I said, you mean forgiven for all the stuff I pulled on people and everything else? He said, yeah. And I said, yeah, I'd like to hear that. 10 minutes later, I was on my knees asking Christ to come into my life. Oh, child of God, person. You may even be here and you don't even know him. What an awesome thing to know Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, it says, do not take the grace of God in vain. We got to tell the world. The world's waiting for you. I love your message, Steve. I love it. I love it. What are we doing? Do we really care? Are we willing to speak for Christ? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of him. How about you? You may be here today and you don't even know Christ. You may have walked right in this building and somebody invited you, thought, you know, it's Memorial Weekend. I think I'll just stop in and see what's going on at that church. You couldn't honestly say if you died right now, where you're going. You don't know. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means everybody in this room has sinned. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. A separation from God. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Have you accepted his gift of eternal life? Clyde, how can I get that gift? Oh, he's made it so easy. Romans 10, if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you would confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Hallelujah! I'm saved today because of that. But are you? Romans 10, at the very end there, 13, he says, whoever calls upon me will be saved. Do you realize you might have been on your way to hell and walked in this door and you can walk out of here on your way to heaven? What an awesome gift. Do you understand? Or do you get this? Do you understand your responsibility to tell the world about him? Who's going to tell him if you and I don't do it? Who's going to tell your friend that you know that's on his way to hell? Who's going to tell him unless you tell him? Who? But you may be sitting here today and you really don't know, but you want to know and you want God in your life. Let's bow our heads. You're sitting here saying, you know, that's fine and dandy and it sounds good and everything, but I can't honestly say if I really died right now. But I want God in my life. I want Christ in my life. Would you pray with me right now? Just pray this prayer. God, come into my life. I believe your Son is Lord. I believe that he died and rose again. Lord, change me. Change my heart. Come into my life, Lord. Save me, Lord. Save me. I need you. Just for a moment, as your heads are bowed here, if you've prayed that prayer this morning, would you raise your hand and just put it right back up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. I see you. I see you. Anybody else? Okay, look up here. I want you to all stand. For you people that just prayed, that just got eternal life, in Luke 14, it says that the angels in heaven even rejoice. My gosh, you just moved heaven. God bless you. Oh, on your way out, for you that prayed, I've got a couple of my evangelist team will be out there on the back here, and they'll give you instruction on what you need to do next. God bless you. We serve a risen, alive Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. See you.